Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what we've heard this morning and music. It's just been very uplifting. It's been very encouraging. It just makes us appreciate how great a God you are. Now help us to appreciate you more from hearing the word of God preached today. Help us to hear what you have for us to hear. Speak to our hearts. Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And Father, one last thing, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not 100% sure they're going to heaven, I pray before they leave this room today, they'll find that out. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or turned to vibrate. Even if you think it's off, make sure that it is. Here's what happens in our church. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we listen to it, then you will stand and sing a special right where you are. And so, unless you're prepared vocally, make sure your cell phone is turned off today, please. Thank you, Dad, for coming to church this morning. Father's Day is one of those days where most preachers are thinking, well, Mother's Day, Mom goes to church. Father's Day, Dad goes to the lake. And you came to church this morning, so thank you, Dad, for coming this morning, being here today. Our fathers have told us, it says in Psalm chapter 78 and verse 3, our fathers have told us. You know, it's interesting in the Bible that over 300 times mothers are mentioned, but over 1,300 times fathers are mentioned in the Bible. I don't think it takes a college degree to understand the impact of mothers and fathers on our society and the lack thereof. I was going to bring a bunch of statistics this morning, but frankly, that's not what I think the Lord would have me to do. But it is fascinating to see how many people who are incarcerated in prisons today who did not have a father figure in their life. It's interesting to see how many people's lives are altered and affected for the wrong because they had no father figure to help them and to go forward. And not just a father figure, a father. Now look at me, people, look at me. We got way too many men today who are willing to father children but not be a father to their children. That's disgusting to me. It shows you the lack of character in our society today. It shows you people who just think all they have to be is procreate and they're a father. That does not make you a father. A father is someone who steps up to their responsibility and fulfills what's expected of them to be the father that they're supposed to be. In Israel's case here, often they make this or use this phrase at least twice in Psalms, but many other times it's referred to about what our fathers have taught us. What our fathers have taught us. You see, before the Bible was penned and put down on parchment or vellum or animal skin, before it began to be penned for people to have it and to be read, it was expression used in Israel. Well, see, our fathers have told us this. Our fathers have taught us this. And so it's an expression used then that I believe is used today and should be used today. And by the way, Dad, look at me. You and I, whether we realize it and are willing to accept it or not, we are teaching the next generation. Either by what we do or by what we don't do. But everything's some kind of, it's an instruction of some kind. So whether you want to say, well, I'm not that kind of a dad, I just kind of do what I do and that's the way it is, then you're teaching your children that I do what I do and that's the way it is, but you're teaching them something. And it's important for us as fathers today to be fathers, to step up and accept responsibility to teach the next generation. Something's happened in our country between the generation of World War II and the generation of today. Something happened in that gap of transfer of that generation to this generation. Something's happened to what should have been passed on and was taught. Last night we had our men's barbecue and we enjoyed some time with our fellows together. And I respect tremendously the men of our church and how they're doing what they can to do their part to raise up another generation and to be teachers of the next generation. Now, whether or not we have a teaching degree or not doesn't make any difference. When you became a father, gentlemen, you became responsible to teach the next generation. Now then, we either shirk our responsibility and let it go on. And by the way, the devil and the world will not let that happen. They will teach our kids what to believe. They will teach the next generation what to believe if we don't. So you say, well, let's talk to the moms too. Well, we did that at Mother's Day. It's your turn. It's Father's Day this morning. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to come to church on Father's Day and say, well, I should have gone to the lake. I don't want you to come to Father's Day this morning in church and say, well, that's not what I came to church for. I hope we leave today as men and fathers, if you're a father. I hope we leave today with an understanding of how important it is that we fulfill our role. Our fathers have told us. Now think about all the things your dad ever told you in life. Now there'll be interesting things that will stand out in your mind, yes? My favorite one was, my dad said, son, I helped bring you into this world, and I'm going to help take you out of it if you don't straighten up. That was one of my favorite ones. And I took him very seriously because I really thought that's what he would do. He was one of those dads with a woodshed and all that kind of stuff that you go to jail for nowadays. But believe me, it was a good thing. And he kind of helped to instruct me in some ways. So, you know, I don't recall my dad ever sitting down and giving me, okay, son, I'm going to teach you something. Now, he did try to teach me things. Tried to teach me how to work with my hands, and he tried to teach me how to take care of responsibilities, and he tried to teach me. And as you know, my parents split up when I was very young. My dad was a Baptist preacher, and he ran off with one of the women in the church, and my parents split up, and I lived between step-parents and stepfathers and mothers for quite some time, for a period of time with my grandparents. I have the blessing of a second generation rearing, and for a good portion of my very formative years as a child, I was raised by my grandparents and by my grandfather, a very hardworking man. All the men of my life, my father and grandfather, were all hardworking people. And they didn't instill in me that work was a curse. They instilled in me that work was something you get to do. You know, we'd say my grandfather would say, okay, we're gonna do this today. And my brother and I would say, oh, do we have to do that today? He goes, no, we get to do that today. That's what we get to do today. And if you do it, I'll buy you pizza. And we said, give us a hammer, let's go. And so we get after it. And they had methods, and it worked, believe me. But I don't recall my grandfather sitting down, besides trying to teach me carpentry and things, sitting down and saying, now, son, this is what I'm going to tell you need to be as a young man. I just watched him. My grandfather was a very quiet man. He spoke very little, said very little. But he's like that E.F. Hutton commercial. When he had something to say, it was something to listen to. And he was a man who I saw him invest in us in our lives. I saw my dad. I've never known my dad to be a lazy man. Never. Saw him be a hardworking man all of his life. And an honest man in his personal integrity as far as his honesty went. He was an honest man. See, well, he made mistakes. And now I make mistakes, and so do you. But our fathers have told us some things, gentlemen and ladies. And you know what? Today, as fathers, I want to speak directly to the men folk for just a moment and talk to you about what you and I should be telling or teaching the next generation. I want you to keep your Bibles open now. We read in Psalm chapter 78, verse 1 to 3. It says in verse 3, our fathers have told us, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now here's something, Dad, you need to be teaching the next generation. Your kids and any other young person you get a chance to influence. You need to teach them who you know. You see, it's one thing to tell somebody to believe in God. It's another thing to tell them, I believe in God. I sit on an airplane next to a man reading my Bible, and he said, oh, you're a man of faith or a Christian or whatever it was he said. I said, well, yes, and I'm a pastor. And he goes, well, I'm an atheist. I said, interesting that God would put us together on this airplane at the same place. And he goes, I told you I'm an atheist. I said, I just proved to you that you ain't, because God put you right next to a Baptist preacher on an airplane, for goodness sakes. I mean, think about it. There must be 300 people on this airplane. Why would God put me with a Bible sitting next to you, an atheist, on this airplane? That has to be God, don't you see? He goes, I don't happen to agree with that. I said, whether you do or not, God put me here next to you, and we've got 4 hours to enjoy a ride together, for goodness sake. You know, the truth of the matter is, it amazes me how people, I always think, and one guy told me, he said, well, I happen to be an atheist. I said, well, I bet God's impressed with that. So you can deny him all you want to. He's still there. Now look at me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that we have to be unkind, though I enjoy that part with atheists. It's not so much that we have to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Guy, dad, listen to me. It said in verse number 4, we need to tell them about the praises of the Lord and the strength that he did. But in our lives, you can tell somebody about God, but you're better off proving it to them by who you are, what you are, and the God that you know. See, it's amazing how this thing of personal experience has such a powerful influence on our lives and the lives of others. And we should tell them who we know. Fathers need to know God. They need to tell the next generation about God. Well, in order to do that, then you need to know God. Don't you understand? God did not intend for us to live a life where he's way up there and we're way down here. And all we ever say is, I believe in him. The creation of God knows that. That's why the mountains point up to him. That's why the trees point up to God. God's creation knows this, that there is a God. But now people, look at me, especially you dads this morning. Don't you understand how powerful it is for you to teach this next generation the God that you know? Well, to know him, you have to know him by salvation, first of all. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross so we can know God. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you now enter into a personal relationship with God. It's not just something you have because you're saved. It's something you have because now you know God on his terms, not yours. And you can come to know him. I was sitting out this morning early and having a little time before getting ready for services and things and spending some time with my Heavenly Father. As I sit out there and the soft breezes blew and the birds were singing, and before the neighbors got noisy and ready, I got noisy neighbors. I do. I said, why don't you move out in the countryside? Because then somebody just grows marijuana next door. I mean, you can't get away from them. I was sitting there for a few moments this morning enjoying some soft, cool breezes and the start of the day, and I was just thanking God for being my Heavenly Father. That drew me to him when I was a kid. Because of our family situation and that, when someone first told me that God loved me and that God cared for me and he was my Heavenly Father, that drew me to him. Still does. And I talked to him this morning. I talked to my Heavenly Father. Now, somewhere this afternoon, I'll call my dad and speak to him and wish him a happy Father's Day. I text all my son-in-laws and my sons this morning, my son, this morning to wish them a happy Father's Day. Our oldest son's a dad, and I wished them a happy Father's Day. I text him. I don't know if you read the comics this morning or not. There was a comic in there about a dad, and he's looking at his phone, and on his phone it said, oh, look, Joseph sent me a text wishing me a happy Father's Day. Then his phone, he goes, and now look, Mary sent me an email wishing me a happy Father's Day, my daughter. And then another one, oh, and look, and George, my other son, IM'd me, messaged me, and wished me a happy Father's Day. And he's showing it to his wife, and he looked, and then the next frame on the comic is all three of those kids are sitting at the dinner table with him. One of them on his phone, one of them on his laptop. Kind of impersonal, don't you think? I'll talk to my dad, Lord willing, today. I'll talk to my father-in-law, a good man, who's been a good man and a good father figure to me in my life. But I talked to my Heavenly Father this morning. Our fathers have told us. We need to tell them about the God that we know. Too often now, fellas, look at me. Too often we put our religion in a building somewhere. Lock it up on Sunday when we leave, go home, and then the rest of the week nobody even knows if we believe in God or not. I'm amazed at how many men I talk to, and as I talk to them about their soul and their lives, how many men really have no relationship with God whatsoever in their life. And it started with their dad who had no, they always say, well, you know, my dad wasn't much into church. That's one thing. It's another thing to have something with God that's real in your life. They should know that. Our fathers should tell us who we know, who they know. Do you know is working in your life? Is there something real about you and God, friend? Dad, look at me. Is there something? Your kids ever see you with a Bible open in your hands, spending some time with Him? When they go to church on Sunday, is it Dad who's the one who's saying, well, we going to the lake or we going to church today? Or is it Dad who says, we're going to church? I feel sorry for families where everybody has to vote on what you're going to do. I like what I, you know, with the times that I live with people who are godly in my life, I grew up on drugs. They drug me to Sunday school. They drug me to the morning preaching service. They drug me to kids' programs. They drug me to camp. Yeah. They didn't ask me what I wanted to do. I grew up stunted in my life. They didn't say, well, would you like to go to church this morning, son? They said, get up and get ready. We're going to church. That was pretty much the tall and the short of it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and it works. To be honest with you, it relieves the kid of a lot of pressure in his life. That's one decision he's not going to have to make. Our fathers have told us, to the nation of Israel, they told them about the God that they knew. Look at verse number 5. Then we should tell them what we believe. For he established a testimony of Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We should tell them, Dad, look at me, we should tell them what we believe. Tell them. Say, well, that's what I take them to church for. Wonderful. We'll help you tell your children what to believe, but we're not a substitute for you. It always comes more powerfully from the parents anyhow, but especially from dad. It's a helpful thing for dad to say, well, son, this is what I believe, and this is what I want you to believe. See, society today has put such pressure on parents now that there's something wrong with parents who put pressure on their children to believe what they're supposed to believe. We're actually stupid enough in this country to think that a six-year-old should be able to figure it out on their own. Excuse me, they need to be told what to do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Look at this one area in our society. We are absolutely bereft of social skills in our society today. People who know how to go out in public and act like they have something besides prehistoric upbringing. It's unbelievable. Just being kind, appropriate, nice, knowing how to express yourself. Hey, how to go out into a public place and act like you're not the only one on the planet. Just basic things like this. But obviously the important things also should be taught. You should be teaching your generation, your kids, and the next generation. I believe this is the Word of God. They're going to be taught now, today, all across society. They're going to be taught this is just a collection of religious stuff. No, my friend, this is in fact and indeed the Word of God. This is God telling us what to do. And son, I believe that. Young lady, I believe that. And I want you to believe that too. Now, you can't make them believe it, but you can dead sure instruct them in what they're supposed to know. They need to know. They need to hear it, Dad. Our fathers need to tell us that God's Word is His commandments, His precepts, His promises, His encouragement. It's bread, it's water, it's milk, it's meat, it's seeds, it's light, it's hope, it's direction, it's a compass. It's better than any stinking GPS that's ever been in creation. The Word of God will guide us in our lives. It's really simple. But you see, what happens to us, we think they're just going to pick it up somewhere. Well, they'll pick up stuff, all right. 30-some years of our church having Sunday school where we taught children here. 30 years ago, we didn't have second graders telling Sunday school teachers, I don't believe the Bible. 30 years ago, we didn't have somebody in third grade, telling us they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But we do now. Because somebody's been teaching them that. They don't figure that junk out on their own. Like that little boy running down the hallway here one day. And he was just moving. And all I did was step in front of him and say, whoa, son, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't run down the hall. Now you're going to turn a corner and mow somebody down. And he said, I'm really upset. This kid could have been 8 or 9 years old. He goes, I'm just upset. I said, well, pardon, I'm the pastor. What's the matter? Talk to me. And he goes, I have anger issues. So, well, you got a pastor in front of you issue now, so just stand still. Don't run down the hallway and behave yourself, all right? You need a drink of water or whatever? Come on, let me help you. I'll show you where the drinking fountain is. An 8-year-old knows about anger issues? I wouldn't know what that was when I was 8 years old. Do you know why? Because somebody's teaching them that. Now, look at me, people. Look at me. We need to teach them what we believe. Dad, it needs to come to their ears from your mouth and your example that this is what we believe. Honesty is not figured out, it's taught. Integrity is not something you pick up by accident. You're taught this. This business of getting out of bed, guys, and griping about your job and your work and the people that you're with, don't you understand you're teaching your children that work's bad? This is an awful thing. Oh, it's awful. I go to work and I get a paycheck and feed our family. That's not the way it should be worded. It should be worded totally differently. This idea, see, we need to teach them what we believe. They need to hear it from us. Patriotism isn't learned because somebody waves a flag. I thank God for my grandparents who taught me the principles of loving a country that wasn't perfect, but still the best on this planet. My grandfather, we would go to a baseball game. And they'd do the national anthem. If he saw anybody around him nearby with a hat on when the national anthem was going as a guy, he was not pleased. He'd look at me and say, son, when I was a kid, you wore that, somebody come along and knock your hat off. And your head, too, if you didn't watch it. You always take your hat off on the flags being for the national anthem. Just things like this. People look at me. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, in relation to global warming, how important is all of this? Well, we'll leave the global warming alone for a moment. Now it's climate change. When everybody was freezing to death back east, nobody was talking global warming. Then it was climate change. These people can't make up their minds about what they believe. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God has the answer for everything in our lives. Our fathers have told us, they said, that He gave us commandments and things by which we should live, and that's what we should do. What should we be telling the next generation, Dad? Look at verse number 8 quickly, and we'll finish now. And it says, and might not be, look at verse 8, and might not be as their fathers. Oops. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Here's something we should teach the next generation, fellas, what not to be. Now, one more time, look at me. You didn't get a perfect example in a dad, and I didn't either, because I haven't been a perfect father myself. But there comes a place, I mentioned this in my Sunday school class this morning, there comes a place and time when every child's life where they either decide they're going to use the failures of their parents as their excuse for what they do, or they're going to look at the wrong that they see and say, I choose not to do that. Well, you can't help it because if you grow up that way, that's just the way it is. Wrong. If you grow up with a bad example, you know what not to do. Because you've seen it. So I grew up in a drunkard's home for a period of time. I saw that life. I don't want that life. I choose not to have that life. I just saw it because it was bad. See, well, that's what happens. You become codependent. And you grow up in an abusive home, you abuse people. You grow up in a drunkard's home, you become a drunkard. You grow up in an alcoholic's home, a junkie's home, you become a junkie. Why don't we ever say that about Christians? You grow up in a Christian home, you become a Christian. No, it's a matter of our choices. That you'll not be like your fathers. Now, every one of us, you see, we've had these imperfect dads in our lives. Now, if I flip this to the next generation for a moment, that's you and me today, can we not come to an understanding of something very important? That's this. Learn to take the bad that you've seen, leave it aside, take the good you were taught, and go on. See, I prefer not now. I'm 60 years old, and my dad's very close to heaven. He'll probably go into heaven. This is probably his last Father's Day on this earth. My dad and I made peace a long time ago. I made peace with my dad before he made peace with me. I just settled up with him. Now listen, if I get a phone call today that my dad went to heaven on Father's Day 2014, I can know that everything was right between me and my dad. And what I will prefer to remember is not his failures and his flaws. I prefer to remember what he did teach me that was right. And that we should not be like our fathers. Isn't it interesting? kid has a bad temper and they say, he's just like his dad. They never say that about the mom. He's just like his mother. Well, dad say that and then we sleep on the couch. But truth is, we've seen enough in our fathers to know we've had enough to know what not to do. When you have a drunk stepfather who beats on your mom, then you can make a choice. You either do the same thing or decide, I will never raise a hand to a woman like that ever in my entire life. I have no patience with a guy who lays hands on a woman. I have no patience with that. As a pastor, I've had people call me before and say, oh, my husband slapped me. What do I do? Here's what I tell them. You tell them to sit right there and wait for me. I'm going to come over and counsel him. I go over and we'll step out in the backyard and I say, okay, pal, here's how it works. You raise your hand to that woman again, I'm going to hit you so stinking hard your mama's going to feel it. You see, pastor, where's that in a counseling session? I don't know, but they quit hitting their wife. They didn't put up with that stuff. No man ever raised a hand to a woman. I can't tolerate that sort of thing. But see, that's what I saw as a kid. When I saw that, I thought, that's not going to happen with me. So we know what we shouldn't do. Don't tell them, don't do this because this is what I do. Don't do that. They'll see enough by the failures of our lives. But for us in the next generation, can we not make some wise enough decisions to know even if you say, I had a terrible example of a father growing up, then you know everything you shouldn't do. You got a lot of good groundwork already laid for you. There's a bunch of dumb stuff you don't have to get involved in now. I'm sorry that our society excuses people for the failures of others, but the bottom line is we're personally responsible. I'm not going to reject the truth. I did that. I did that for a good portion of my teenage years and the 4 years I spent in the military. I rejected the truth of God's word because of what I saw. Bad mistake, wasted time. So, friend, as fathers, let's set a high goal to be what we ought to be. As the next generation, let's take the good and leave the bad. Your life will be a lot better for it. And hey, you won't live the rest of your life on excuses. Well, because my dad wasn't what he was supposed to be, I'm not what I'm... That's tired stuff now. As they say, that's weak sauce. Let's just get straight. Now listen, our fathers have told us. Let's be fathers whose lives give instruction to point people in the right direction. Do you know God? Do you tell them what you believe and why? And there are some things there they'll see they shouldn't. And may we, as the next generation, take our proper steps to go forward with the mistakes of others being our example of what not to do. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.